and had the wonderful opportunity to interview some of the most accomplished and successful Montreal media figures, such as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, former Habs hockey player George Larac, and pop stars David Usher, Cyril Kumar, and Véronique Tiquet in my work as an entertainment journalist over the years.
We have to move to green energy. We absolutely have. We have to.
Just the idea that we all have the capacity to make a difference in the world, and that's what I was doing.
When I was going to play, whether you watch hockey or not, you're going to know who I am because I'll be doing something.
You have to believe in what you do, and don't ever forget that what you do is your playground.
Throughout the difficulties, how do you, you know, stand strong and, you know...
Yoga is to eliminate the misery.
I've also interviewed Canadian rock band Nickelback and world-renowned spiritual master Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who's changing the world for the better. So I've often been asked by people to do a podcast. So I'm so proud to welcome you to our Montreal's Moments podcast by Zensa Media Incorporated.
That's Montreal's with a Z.
Lots of thought-provoking, humorous conversations about our media industry in North America, with an emphasis on Montreal, one of the best multicultural cities in the world. Interviews with cool artists, public figures that drop by our city, proud local Montreal artists and entrepreneurs, or people who just love our city and have something to say about it. And my colleague Alexandra will be dropping by once in a while to co-host with me. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. Welcome to another episode of Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. We are honored today to have a very special guest in our podcast studio, who is an expert on the history and politics of our province of Quebec and our country of Canada. Danielle Bellan is a director at the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada. He's also a professor, Department of Political Science at McGill University as well. Professor Bellan is also a respected media figure providing expert analysis on politics locally and topics related to the rest of Canada. There is so much misinformation circulating about our province of Quebec and our country of Canada. I'm sure you would all agree. So we appreciate Mr. Bellan joining us on our Montreal's Moments podcast to set the record straight. Welcome to our Montreal Moments podcast, Professor Bellan.
Thanks for the invitation. I'm glad to be here with you today.
Is it true that former Prime Minister Stephen Harper allocated the label nation to Quebec to please the sovereigntists? If that is indeed true, how can Quebec be a nation for sovereigntists and a province for the rest of the people living here, Anglos, multi-ethnics, Indigenous, etc.? Can you clarify what Quebec is then?
Yeah, so this idea of Quebec as a nation is not just for sovereignists. I think there are a lot of Francophones in Quebec, even if they support staying within Canada, see themselves as forming a distinct nation within the country, a Francophone nation. In the past, it was also a Catholic nation, but that's no longer the case. Even secularism now is becoming part of the identity of the province, so at least it's certainly central to Bill 21 and the policies of the current government of the François Legault So I don't think that Stephen Harper did that to please only sovereignists, but to please Francophone Quebecers, because many of them, most of them, re-identify with this idea that Quebec is a nation, even people who want to stay within Canada. And if you look at what the motion that the House of Commons adopted in 2006, so at the beginning of the Harper years, it recognizes, quote, that the Quebecois form a nation within a united Canada, end of quote. So the twist here is say, hey, we recognize that Quebecers are a distinct nation, they speak French and so forth, but they do so within a united Canada. So that was a way to avoid being accused of doing that for the sovereignists. In fact, he did that to please Francophone voters, and most Francophone voters, regardless of whether they are federalist or sovereignist or undecided, they were happy with this because the idea of recognizing the distinctiveness of Quebec and recognizing Quebec as a nation is something that's been debated for decades in this country. And there was the Lake Meech Accord, Constitution Accord in 1987, which was not ratified in 1990. We had a big debate over the Charlottetown Accord, two referendums in 1992 over this. So very divisive constitutional debates about the status of Quebec within Canada. And what Harper did is that without opening the Constitution and without putting that in the Constitution, he just had this motion. He put forward this motion, which was adopted, voted by the huge majority of members, really a strong majority of members of the House of Commons. But that was a way symbolically to tell Quebecers, yes, we are a nation, and then let's move on. And implicitly, let's not reopen the Constitution because that's too complicated.
Okay, yeah, that is complicated to understand, but it's a topic that is complicated, but you explained that really well. I had another question to ask you about something that has a lot of misinformation in regards to Canada and USA that circulates online. Is it true that the USA many years ago tried to take over Canada? If this is indeed fact, what year was that, and what was the reason for that?
Well, you're probably referring to the War of 1812, and at the time, of course, Canada wasn't a country, right? So we are talking here about a war involving the United States and the British Empire. And yes, there was actually some American troops were entered what is now Quebec, and so forth, and there was indeed a battle in Châteauguay, so very near Montreal. Because Francophones were part of the British Empire, they didn't necessarily, identify with the British who were waging a war against the United States. And there were some Francophones here, French Canadians, who actually wanted to join the United States. And you have to know, too, that later on, of course, in the late 19th century, mid-late 19th century, early 20th century, a lot of French Canadians moved to the United States, to the New England, to find work. And so even in 1812, many Francophones didn't necessarily see the United States as an enemy, and some people were sympathetic to, the idea of having a republic and dependent from the British Empire. Because French Canadians were part of the British Empire and they got some of their religious and language rights because originally the British Empire was afraid of the American Revolution, the American War of Independence, and then the American the independence per se. But they were not so enthusiastic about defending the British Empire. And so that explains the they were not fighting at the time. The fight was not about Canada. In retrospect, and we see that under Stephen Harper in 2012, we had this huge, celebration over the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812, like it was a patriotic war of Canadians fighting, an invader and so forth. It was there was no Canada at the time. There was just the British Empire. And of course, people who were, Anglophones or people of British descent or Scottish descent and so forth, these people really fought against the Americans because many of them were loyalists, or they were the ancestors or loyalists who fled the United States and to actually settle in Canada because they were still loyal to the British king, right? So they were very, very pro-British, while the Francophones, they were much less enthusiastic about fighting for an empire that had invaded them a few decades before.
Well, that makes a lot more sense now, because little bits and pieces were circulating, but not quite the full picture. Thank you for elaborating on that and giving us the full picture of that. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. Indigenous, with the support of the British, had not stood up for Canada, do you think the French language would be thriving in Quebec as it is today? Because most students are obliged to go to French school, and according to media reports, 92% can carry a conversation in French in Montreal.
Yeah, so if the United States had, say, won the War of 1812, say, or if Quebec later on had joined the United States or been annexed by the United States or invaded, permanently invaded by the United States and became, say, the, you know, the 51st state.
Yeah.
You know, it's not sure what would have happened with French. Demographically, of course, French will be a much smaller portion of the United States than it is a portion of Canada today.
Right.
We know what happened with Louisiana, right?
Yes.
That French has declined dramatically there. And so it's possible that things will have turned differently for French in what is now Quebec, and that more and more people will have spoken English. But we are than they are today, but we are speculating, right? It's kind of trying to rewrite history, or it's, you know, hypotheticals. I mean, we are trying to, you know, see counterfactuals, right? Trying to see what if, and we are in a way speculating. But what is sure is that within Canada, Quebec as a province has found a way to defend its language, and this, as of course, originally it was defended by the Catholic Church and traditional elites and so forth, liberal elites. But later on, we've seen more recently Bill 101, the Charter of the French Language, and what you mentioned about the fact that 92% of people can speak French, and that a lot of immigrants today, now their children at least, they learn French and they are fluent in French. It's because of Bill 101, or the Charter of French Language. Now, some aspect of this bill have always been controversial. It will always be. Some of them were tweaked and changed over time. Recently, Bill 96 also altered that policy. But some basic tools, like having not just, it's not just that recent immigrants have to send the new immigrants have to send their kids to French language school. It's also that Francophones have to send their kids to French language school. So as a Francophone, I can't send my children to Anglophone school. That's only for primary and secondary school. Now, Cégep is still open to, it's still free in a way. And that's the case, of course, for university. And that's not likely to change anytime soon. Even if the Parti Québécois, they want now Cégep, they want a charter to be applied to Cégep. But that's something controversial. And many Anglophones, of course, are against it, but also many Francophones and Allophones, because they think that going to Cégep in a different language than the language that you learn, say, in primary and secondary school, might be really beneficial for you in terms of economic opportunity. Because if you look at the world today, you look at Quebec, the people who are who earn a less on average in terms of language are people who are unilingual, who only speak English. Then people who only speak French. Then people who are bilingual, Anglophones who are bilingual or allophones who speak French and English. But then the people who do the best are Francophones who also speak English well. And so there is a sense that learning, knowing more than one language is very important for you, especially if you're an Anglophone. So there's a strong incentive for people in Quebec to learn French, because there are a lot of jobs you cannot get in Quebec, especially outside of Montreal or Laval, and you cannot have this job if you don't speak French. At the same time, for Francophones, you're in North America, and there are a lot of jobs here in Quebec, especially in Montreal. And if you leave Montreal to seek other opportunities in the US or in Asia or elsewhere in Canada, you need to speak English. So I think Francophones have a strong incentive to learn English, and everybody else in Quebec has a strong incentive to learn French. But the way the current government has framed this is more, is the Bill 96 was really understood as an attack against Anglophones and even Allophones. And rather than using kind of positive incentives to help people learn French better, some of this has been done, but it's more an approach where you go after services that are allocated to people whose mother tongue is English. And that's been ill-perceived, to say the least.
That's an excellent point you make. I can tell you, based on my experience, I went to school in French until high school, and I had really good French teachers. I learned it at an academic level. And when I went to Cégep, I had the choice to go to a French Cégep or an English one. And when you're 18 years old, you're an adult. You're considered an adult, legally speaking.
Yes.
We all are not maybe adults we're still young at that age, at 18. But we are legally, an adult where we can decide what we want to do, what we want to study, what school we want to go to. And that's where I take issue with the Parti Québécois when they say that they want to regulate the Cégep level. And then once they do that, I'm sure they will look at the university level. That's my opinion. I think just looking at the trend on how they speak about it. So I just feel that at that age, you should be able to decide what you want to study. And for people who want to have their own business, maybe want to work in another province, or as you said, in Asia and Europe, need to know English. And it's very good to know French too, because when you travel in Europe, many people know 4 or 5 languages in other countries. They don't look at it the same way as we do here. And I see it as an asset. I'm proud to be a multilingual. And the more languages you know, less chance you have of getting Alzheimer's. So that's an added bonus.
Yeah, no, of course, it's good for your brain. And of course, I mentioned bilingualism, but actually students who, parents or grandparents are immigrants and they still speak another language than French or English at home, at least they learn it. You know, if you speak Mandarin, French, and English, or, Greek, English, French, and Spanish, well, this can open new opportunities. So language is certainly important in terms of economic opportunities. At the same time, language is also about identity, especially here in Quebec. And so these are things that we need to balance out, right? And you have people like the Parti Québécois, they emphasize more identity than, I would say, economic issues.
Right.
Even if that's not exactly what they say. But I would say that we have to make sure to emphasize the fact that learning English properly is important for Francophones. You know, I grew up partly in Gaspé and Baie-Comeau, and there were very, very few Anglophones there. And I went to French school, and my English was not very good. I could read English. I could understand it. But in terms of speaking English, and especially writing in English, it took me, I only started to do it really to speak English well in my mid-20s when I actually live in the US for a while. And then, of course, I moved to English-speaking Canada, so I improved my English there, but I became fluent in English quite rapidly by living outside of Quebec in an Anglophone, province or state in the case of the US.
Right.
But in terms of writing English, actually, to write in a language properly is not easy. Some jobs don't require that you actually be able to write in French or English, but when you have to write in both languages, it is quite a bit of work to master that. And then on the top of it, imagine, you might be able to learn Mandarin if your parents speak Mandarin or Cantonese at home or Hindi, but writing the language, is just harder than speaking it. And even reading it can be challenging too, right?
Yes.
So especially if we talk about Mandarin or Cantonese with the, you know, with the Chinese characters and so forth. So, but the more languages you speak, I think the better it is for you economically, and also it opens new horizons for you intellectually. So it's not just something that's valuable economically, but also culturally. But in Quebec, there are some people who say, oh, you Francophones should not become bilingual, because if they become bilingual, in the end, they will anglicize and anglicize. They will no longer see themselves really as Francophone. And so that could be a danger for the language. And so there is a tension here. But there are other people like Justin Trudeau, others who really, and his father, who emphasized the need for bilingualism. But, you know, bilingualism is a bit asymmetrical in Canada because it's much more common in Quebec. Francophones are much more likely to speak English in this country, in Quebec and outside of Quebec, than Anglophones are likely to speak French. Because, of course, in North America, English is much more dominant than French. And so if you're an Anglophone and you live in Alberta or British Columbia, you might learn French for, you know, maybe because you think about working for the federal government or, you know, working for Air Canada or, you know, other federally regulated bilingual, you know, enterprises and so forth. But otherwise, you don't need French. While in Quebec, if you're Francophone and you don't learn English, you will a lot of economic opportunities, way more than, say, if you're an Anglophone who doesn't speak French outside of Quebec, way more economic opportunities will be close to you or will be harder to achieve.
My Zensa Media team and I were really excited to announce that our Zensa Media International Film Festival 7th edition is going to be taking place in November 2024. You can check out further details on our Film Freeway official website, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on Facebook, Zensa Media International Film Festival. You can check us out on our website, www.zensamediafilmfestival.com, and on Instagram, Zensa Media. Is it true that there was a time in our province of Quebec where Anglos and ethnics were discouraged from going to French school? If yes, why was that? And the reason I bring this up is I have a friend who had mentioned to me that when he came with his family to Quebec, he was enrolled in a French school with his siblings. And just shortly after a couple of months, the principal called the kids in and brought the parents in and said, you can't go to school here. You're from another country. You don't know French well enough. And they said, well, we're still young. Like the parents said, the kids are just starting school. They're going to learn it. And they said, no, you need to go to an English school. So I was curious about that, if that was the case.
Well, before the 1977, so that's the advent of the Bill 101, the Charter of French Language, it's true that a lot of immigrants will study, newcomers to Quebec will go to English school. Sometimes the parents will prefer that because they thought there would be more economic opportunities for them if they learn English. Because don't forget that up to the 1970s, at least especially before the Quiet Revolution of the 1960s, Anglophones earned way more money on average than Francophones in this province. And English was the language of business. And if you wanted to succeed outside of a few areas like, say, law and in politics and, you know, maybe culture, I mean, you know, English was the way to do business. And so learning English was really important, and parents preferred to send their kids to English language schools. But there are other dimensions. One of them is religion, because for a long time in Quebec, we had religious school boards we had the Catholic side, which was, you know, typically the Francophone side was Catholic.
Yeah.
And then you had the Protestant side, which was typically Anglophone.
Right.
And so if you were not Catholic, typically, you were not necessarily, you know, so welcome in that schooling system. And the Protestant system was actually more inclusive in a way, or so I think that's part of it. I mean, it's not really my area of research, so maybe I'm simplifying here quite a bit, but you know, things have changed dramatically since 1970s, and now of course you have to go to French school unless your parents went to English school or they come from another province. They have language rights as an Anglophone minority within Canada. But and within Quebec. But otherwise, if you come from India or you come from Bangladesh or you come from Greece or, you know, Colombia, then you have to send your kids to French school. And now it's the law. And it was true different before 1977. It was very common for, you have a lot of people, for example, who came from even Italy. So you say Italy is Catholic. And it's Italian is much closer to French than to English.
Right.
And then many Italians, they learn and they spoke English in part because they were seeking, you know, certain economic opportunities and because the language of business in Quebec was English.
Yeah.
And so you know, it's an interesting story, but Quebec has changed a lot in recent decades.
To conclude this segment of our conversation, what happened after the COVID pandemic, where the slogan was "We are all in this together," to Montreal now being under the thumb of Bill 96, Bill 40, Bill 15, and for the first time seeing McGill and Concordia taking the Quebec government to court for higher tuition fees for out-of-province students? Is Montreal still deserving to be considered one of the best multicultural cities in the world?
Well, I think the major change that occurred, of course, is 2018. So when the CAQ formed, you know, after the elections, they defeated the Liberals and they formed government. And if you look at the electoral map, it's very easy to understand what happened. The Liberals had a lot of seats and still have a lot of seats on the island of Montreal. The CAQ won only two. They currently only have, I think, a couple of seats on the island of Montreal. You have more than 24. You have 27, I think, MNAs on the island of Montreal. Only two are for the CAQ. So the CAQ, they don't need Montreal to win and to form strong majority governments. They did it in 2018 and 2022. They were able to win without Montreal and win strong government, even stronger in 2022, stronger majority government, more seats than before, without increasing number of seats in Montreal. So it doesn't mean they don't care about Montreal. They care about Montreal because it's still the economic engine of the province. But they don't have that many voices within the caucus and within the cabinet. So the ministers, the caucus, it's the MNAs. They don't have that many voices that are for Montreal and from Montreal, especially when we talk about ethnocultural minorities. And so these voices are typically outside of that party. And in the island of Montreal, you have quite a few Quebec Solidaire ridings and, of course, a lot of Liberal ridings, especially in more Anglophone areas. But the CAQ, you know, doesn't need Montreal electorally. And they don't know Montreal as well as, say, the Liberals, and they care less about Montreal. I think it's sad to say. They won't say that openly. But you look at the electoral math and the electoral map, and you see why this is happening.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because Montreal is an important city. As you said, it's the economic engine. And if you don't keep the economic engine rolling smoothly, that will have ripple effects, in my opinion, across our province. And we all matter. Like, you know, it's unfortunate to see the situation that we're in at the moment, but hopefully things will get better. We can only hope, and that we all need to feel supported because everybody does matter. So we will be back in just a moment to ask you some rapid fire questions. So we ask you to stick around with us and we'll be right back. Like, subscribe, and follow our Instagram, Montreal's Moments Podcast. That's Montreal's with a Z. You can follow our Zensa Media, that's Z-E-N-S-A Media, on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And if you like to check out some of our work, drop by our YouTube page, The Zensa Media. That's all one word. Our Montreal's Moments podcast guest, Professor Bellin, and we will be asking some rapid fire questions. Now, are you ready, Professor Bellin?
Sure.
Your favorite Montreal restaurant?
Oh my God.
We have so many good ones. Eh? It's always a tough one to pick.
Yeah, there are so many of them. Yeah, I would say Le Pied de Cochon, but there are so many that I could not, you know. Yeah.
And what do you like at Le Pied de Cochon? What would you recommend?
Well, no, it's a mix of, I like the mix of kind of traditional, you know, French-Canadian fare, but also with sort of modern twist on it. Yes.
Very cool. Your favorite place to chill out in the city?
Well, I live not too far from the Square Saint-Louis, which is located in the south of the Plateau Mont-Royal. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely little square. And it's surrounded by some of the most beautiful residential architecture of Montreal, architecture from the late 19th century, a lot of kind of Victorian architecture, but with a Montreal twist that's really unique. So I like the architecture and also the trees and the squirrels and the people there. And so that's a place I really like.
I have to check that out. That sounds beautiful. I'll have to see that. Your favorite Hollywood movie?
Oh my goodness, a favorite Hollywood movie. You know, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and that's an old, you know, The Empire Strikes Back, I think, is the best of the first trilogy, at least. So yep. I would say when I was a kid, at least, that's, you know, I've watched so many movies since then, but that's probably the movie I've watched the most, you know, the most often in terms of watching it, I don't know, 7 or 8 or 10 times.
I think many would agree with you. What was your favorite subject when you were a student?
It might not sound surprising, but it was history. When I was in high school, that's something I really enjoyed. I was not so strong in or so interested in natural sciences or even in math. I was not bad, but I was more interested in, you know, humanities or literature, history, and yeah, social studies.
What is the coolest place you've visited in the world?
Oh, I would say Siem Reap in Cambodia, where you have a lot of old temples, old Buddhist temples, and it's really, it's in the jungle. It has become very touristy, but if you go there, you can still feel the sense of having ruins of an old civilization. And it's really fascinating, and it's so different than what you see here in North America. So that's one of the many places I really enjoy visiting. But I've traveled, you know, all over the world, and in each country you visit, you have some really interesting things to see, interesting people to meet. And when you start to study the history of a country, each country is interesting. You just have to take the time to discover it.
Well said. So to conclude our conversation today, I have a question I'd like to ask you. If you could be Premier of Quebec for one term, what would you do and or what would you fix?
Yeah, well, I will do more in terms of fighting climate change. I will also probably try to improve the healthcare system, which is really failing us in many ways. Restructure the tax system to make it more progressive. I mean, there are a lot of things I would do. And I will adopt a much more positive attitude towards immigration because I think it's vital for Quebec. And we have to send the message that, yes, we want immigrants to learn French, but we also want to recognize that immigrants are a very important part of our economy and our future from a demographic standpoint and from a cultural standpoint. So certainly I would change the tone about this.
Well, that's a great answer. And I think that would solve a lot of problems or at least bring a lot of progress. So who knows, maybe one day, Professor Bellon, politics?
I will not bet on it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights and for clarifying a lot of the things about our province, about our country in Canada, and our province within Canada. So it's a very fascinating conversation, and you're welcome back anytime. We'd love to speak to you more. We had so many more questions to ask you. So definitely we hope to see you again on our podcast. And we thank you for the time you've given us today.
You're most welcome. Take care.
And thank you to our audience of our Montreal's Moments podcast on Balado Quebec, on Spotify as well, our international audience as well as our local one. Thank you so much for tuning in to our show. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great week, everyone. Keep up with our podcast updates on Instagram, Montreal's Moments. That's Montreal's with a Z. Facebook, you can find our content on Zensa Media page and, of course, on Balado Quebec website, where you can check us out on Montreal's Moments page as well there.